First of all, is this God's word? Yes. Is all of it God's word? Does God ever change? No. So the words that he spoke in the Old Testament, are they still true today? Yes. When he was sharing in the Old Testament, could it have been that he was looking right at you when he did it? Maybe, but probably not. Most of the time he was looking at Israel. So does that mean that it does not apply to me? The answer is no. God is consistent. If he did not like something the Israelites were doing, he told them about it. If he didn't like what they were doing, and we're doing the same thing, he's going to tell us about it because he's consistent. If it wasn't good then, it's not good now. The Old Testament prophets, did you ever think about their job? How many would want their job? Nobody. It was a tough job. But I started to think about these Old Testament prophets. First of all, they were preaching a good, happy, blessed message. Think about it. They were preaching a good, happy, blessed message. When did we don't want to hear that come in, is when the children of Israel were defiant to that good, happy, blessed message. When they were disobedient and defiant to it, then God uses these preachers to now pass on a word to them that they didn't want to hear. You know, we always look at these prophets and go, oh, woe is Israel. And these prophets then had to pronounce gloom and doom over Israel. Well, not really. The first message was, God wants to bless you. That's what God had in mind. But they didn't pay attention. And then God says, now I have to discipline you. So then he tells these Old Testament prophets, now you're going to tell the people of Israel that Assyria is going to come in and judge them because they didn't accept the good, happy, blessed message. And the children of Judea, you didn't pay attention to it either, so Babylon's going to come in and judge you. You see, it didn't turn into the judgment or the bad part until they didn't pay attention to the good part. We live in the United States. Do you believe that we are blessed for being in the United States? Are you also believing that God is consistent? He's constant. If we fall into the same traps that Israel did, can't we expect the same judgment that Israel received? Yes. It makes common sense. It's perfect sense. God is giving us a happy, good, blessed message. If we don't pay attention to it, what's God going to do? He's going to come in and judge us. So these Old Testament prophets, they preached a good message, but it wasn't listened to. And then God says, you're going to listen to this. Folks, we're living in the greatest country in the world. Amen? But if we don't pay attention, judgment's coming on the United States. Now that may not make you very happy. Too bad. As a country, as people, we need to be listening to what God's telling us to do. Do you suppose in the Old Testament time, there were some Israelites that paid attention to what the prophets were saying? Do you suppose that they went through judgment too? Yeah, they did. I'm going to tell you this. We're getting ready. We have been blessed, but we have also been defiant and disobedient. And one of these days, the hammer is going to come down. Will you be involved with that? Yes. I've gone over this, and I'm going to be honest. I got 8 pages. There is no way we're going to get 8 pages done. My goal for today is get the introduction done, and we'll be pushing it. But we better pay attention to what God says, because it's going to get worse. I think everybody has the ability to turn on the news and sit there and yell at the TV. You don't do that. I do. I don't like watching news because I yell at the television. I cannot believe what we are doing in the day and age in which we live. I can't believe what we're doing. I'm surprised God has not put the hammer down already. I think it's by His grace only that He has not just punished us. He's a forgiving God, but He's also just. It's always good to get up behind the pulpit and preach the fun stuff. It's harder to get behind the pulpit and preach the stuff that may be more difficult for us to hear. Praise God for this church. Praise God for the people in it. But we live in the United States, and we are experiencing a decay, a spiritual decay in the United States. And if we don't do something about it, we will be judged severely by God. Living in a fallen world is not easy for a Christian to do. There's all sorts of stuff coming at us all the time. But not only am I faithful, God is faithful. And if you stay close to God and hear what He says, we may go through tough times. But you remember, Jesus is the one who said, "I'll be with you. I have overcome the world." And we need to be leaning, not just have an association. We need to be leaning on Jesus right now. It's going to get worse. And guess what? God said, it's going to get worse. So I believe it's going to get worse. Will you conform or will you stand strong? It's going to be your choice. When the times get tough, are you going to stand on God's word? Or are you going to conform to the situation at the present? Sadly, a lot of Christians will conform. A lot of Christians are conforming right now. Some of it just turns my stomach. But God will judge. I just want Him to look at me and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You see, as the Old Testament prophets were in place, they were not fortune tellers. Most of them were not fortune tellers. It wasn't, "This is going to happen in 200 years. Granted, that was part, but it wasn't their main ministry. Their main ministry and what they were there for was to just speak the word of God to the people. So part of the responsibility of the pastor is to prophesy. Amen? The pastor is to be giving the word of God. Not add to it, not subtract from it, just give the word of God. So that's part of what the pastor does. So in comes the good, in comes the bad. But this is what God says. There are two types of churches in the world today, and I want to make sure that we see them. So I don't know if you take notes, but there's only two types of churches in existence today. There's just two types. Now, I am not talking about denominations. I'm not talking about, okay, do we believe in eternal security or don't we? That's not the issue. Well, do we baptize the way that we should be baptizing people? That's not the issue. Those are denominational issues. Well, do we believe in spiritual gifts? Or don't we believe that spiritual gifts are for today? That's a denominational. That's not a type of church. Well, New Testament doesn't mention anything about tithing, so we're not going to tithe. The Old Testament says tithing, not the New Testament. I'm not talking about that either. You see, that's why denominations are formed. It is. You got denominations that are in place just because of how they have viewed one passage of Scripture that says, unless you're baptized, you can't be saved. One verse. This is not a denominational issue. There are two types of churches in place. Number one, the Bible-believing church. Well, that was an easy one. It's a Bible-believing church. Let me ask you a question. Is this God's word? Yes. Yes. Is it all God's word? Yes. Every jot and every tittle in here, is it God's word? Any doubts? Well, you're a strange group of people. Because you're not like the world. Because to the world, this is a reference book. To you, it should be a rule book. It's what you live by. It's what you claim. Everything that you believe is in this book, is it not? How you believe God is in this book. There are two types of churches. The first one is the Bible-believing church. Everything I need to know about God is in here. Amen? Everything. No, it's only that. It's only like that much. Well, I got news for you. Start reading it once and see how big it is. The first type of church is the Bible-believing church. Let me give us what a Bible-believing church believes. The Bible-believing church believes that God saves you by faith, not by works. So far, so good? The Bible-believing church believes in an eternal heaven and an eternal hell. The Bible-believing church believes God reigns sovereignly. That means He is at the top of the heap. What He says, what He does is His business because He is God. This is a big one, and you may not see it as a big one, but it is huge. The Bible-believing church believes that God always has and always will work through His chosen people, Israel. If you do not believe that, you're not the Bible-believing church. A Bible-believing church believes in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All of them individually are God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one make the all-inclusive God that we just talk about. But they're Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We believe, the Bible-believing church believes in the virgin birth. We can't explain it. The world cannot fathom it. But by the way, the angel told Mary, nothing is impossible with God. The Bible-believing church believes that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God Himself, came to this earth, was born here, He was ministering here, He died here, He was buried here, and He rose again. And in that, we can be saved. Our sins can be forgiven. You may have some other ones, but those are the pretty basic ones. The Bible-believing church believes all of that. And you, in agreement, would make just a one-word affirmation of that. And your affirmation word would be, Amen. Let it be, it is so. This is what a Bible-believing church believes in. Leesville Faith Community Chapel is a Bible-believing church. We believe in all of those tenets that have been given. We believe that the Bible is the source of all that we need to pursue God. We believe this is the very words of God. We believe it is absolute. There's nothing else. We believe God to be perfect, no blemish. If you disagree with any of the tenets that I have spoken of, we love you, but you're in the wrong church, because that's what we believe. Amen. That's the absolute word of God. Yep. There's others. We believe in baptism, correct? Yep. By the way, I'm not sure of how you get saved and don't get baptized. You're trying to do it, trying to live a Christian life on your own. Get some help, because it's hard. The first church that we find is the Bible-believing church, type 1. Lots of churches fall into that category. Pick a denomination and then run it through this filter and see if they fit. If they don't fit, they fall into the other type. So there's lots of denominational churches. You all represent a denominational church. You're not just born an independent or non-denominational. You're not born that way. If you've had church training, you've been into another church, more than likely a denominational one. For most of you here, Methodist. For some of us here, you quiet Baptist. But do those fall into this category of what they believe? The answer is yeah, they do. Do they have differences? Yeah, we have some differences. But we have one God altogether. We're called the church, the Bible-believing church. Type number two, and you can guess, this one ain't going to be as good as the first one. It's called the conforming church. The conforming church may entertain some aspects of God. They may look good until you dig in a little bit, but they're different. They may hold some of these tenets, but probably not all of them. They're going to differ in some form or fashion. A conforming church conforms to government and social pressure, which is a really easy thing to say. Conforming church listens to what the government's saying. And the conforming church listens to social pressure, or this is what society says is what the church should be preaching and teaching. Now, you have any problems with that? First of all, what we're preaching and teaching in this Bible-believing church comes from God. You may have your pet issues and the things that you believe are, oh, these are vitally important. That may be, it may be vitally important. But the most important thing in this church is not you. The most important thing in this church is Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. The conforming church is a church that now is under pressure from the government or from society. You're going to know where I'm going here pretty quick. Amen. The conforming church listens to the government and listens to society. And look at it this way. A conforming church is conforming. So a conforming church may change how it looks at something. Well, I could be wrong on this, but seems to me in this God's word that it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and for 2021. He does not change. The conforming church, you're not sure of what the conforming church believes from one week to another one, because they're entertaining aspects of God. A conforming church is a business. Well, no, they're a church. No, they're a business. They get people in their church so that they can meet payroll, so that they can pay the staff, and so that they can put money in the bank. It's a conforming church. They're a business. They're in the business to show a profit. As government regulations increase, as social pressure increase, the conforming church spiritual foundation will decrease. They are relying more on the government and social pressure than they are God's word. An example of a conforming church is a state church. State church, like in Russia, China has state churches. The Middle East countries have state churches. North Korea has state churches. Those churches preach what the government tells them they will preach. Do you suppose any of those countries preach a message that if you invite Jesus into your heart, you can experience a freedom you have never experienced before? They're not going to preach that. They're not going to preach a Savior, but their churches, it's in their title. The conforming church, according to the government, functions according to what the government says they can do. We ain't one. we're a Bible-believing church. In the United States, we have no state churches. We don't have them. But the United States is full of conforming churches. There's lots and lots and lots and lots of conforming churches in the United States. So my suggestion is, when you turn on the television or when you listen to a program, research it. See what that church is and see what they're about. Because we have lots of conforming churches. One of the biggest churches in the United States, one of the biggest ones, get this picture. They plant churches. I'm not going to give you the church. They will not plant a church until they have 1,000 people that are going to leave their church to start the other one. They will not plant a church unless on the first day when those doors are open, they have 1,000 people in their congregation. That's not the bad part. The bad part is they believe that they have replaced Israel. They're a conforming church. It's just what fits. So I'm telling you, when you watch these TV preachers and you listen on the radio, make sure of who you're listening to. Amen. They may sound awesome, but figure out what they're preaching. You got internet, pull up what they believe. Some of you might be surprised. By the way, there are lots of big churches out there that are very good, big Bible-believing churches. Listen to them. Or go to our website. The United States has many conforming churches. We're not conforming as far as the government's concerned yet. There's no state churches, but lots of conforming churches. They're conforming because of social pressure, not the government. Now get this. These churches are conforming because of social pressure. So society is now determining, and if you've been through philosophy, I despised philosophy class. If you've been through philosophy, what it says is society determines what is real or what is true. Society makes up what's real. So society is the one that determines this is an absolute. The problem is it's an absolute right now, but in 2 weeks it won't be. You see, society determines what it is, what is. Now, before you start trying to figure it out, put yourself in that place. Society has determined our view on several different issues. They have said, look at it. You must agree to this because society says this is right. So I'm just telling you, society has a real effect on mankind. And it's conforming churches. They may not see it, but they are being conformed by society. They will tell you what is right and what is wrong by society. A Bible-believing church does not cave under social pressure. We do not preach according to social pressure. We preach the absolute Word of God, which, by the way, is almost completely contradictory to society. The conforming church is growing as we speak. Don't be misled by a really aggressive, a growing church, a big church. It may be a Bible-believing church. I'm telling you, pay attention to what they're preaching. If it is not of God, all God, it is a conforming church. Conforming churches will increase in number because social pressure, unless your head has been in the sand, social pressure is increasing in the world, especially in the United States. By the way, conforming churches will not last. God will judge them. I would much rather be in a Bible-believing church and be judged by God than in a fake one and be judged by God. conforming churches are increasing in numbers. What does this mean at Faith Community Chapel? First of all, we are a Bible-believing church, all of it. So what does it mean to Faith Community Chapel? This idea of, are we a Bible-believing church? Are we a conforming church? What kind of church are we? You know, I'm thinking you have only had two pastors. Both of them have a very good first name. So far, the two pastors that have been here have been Bible-believing pastors. Preach what is in the Bible. Don't preach anything else. We're a Bible-believing church. We're not going to conform to government or social pressure. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 24. Took me that long, but we're not out of the introduction. Matthew chapter 24. What a sermon to preach when we have a new guest. I'm praying that you're just sitting here going, this is where I need to be. This is God. Matthew chapter 24. Go to verse 3. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things happen and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. There must be something that Jesus was seeing that could mislead all of those who are believing in his return. There must be something that will be misleading people. Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that it is not yet the end. Look at what Jesus is saying here. These are the ones who want to know when Jesus is going to return. Are these people disciples of Jesus Christ? Yes. They are followers of Jesus Christ, anticipating his return. And what has he just shared with them? You get the privilege of participating in these things. You will be hearing of wars, rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. The only way that you can be frightened is if you're here. For those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. Every day on the news. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Who will be in tribulation? Who will be delivered? Who's going to die? Verse 10. At that time, many will fall away. Why? Because their foundation is not in the person of Jesus Christ. Their foundation is in the government or social pressure. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Church, do not get things out of order. It may be that we have the wrong perception of the end because we are Christians. How many pre-tribbers? How many have the faintest idea what I'm talking about? How many are pre-tribbers? You believe the rapture takes place before the tribulation starts. How many? You have read Revelation and you notice that the first three chapters is all about Jesus and the church. You notice when you get to chapter 4 and to the end of the Bible, it never ever mentions the church again. That's because we've been raptured. Don't get things out of order. It does not say, well, the rapture is going to happen when I'm happy and content and when the world's doing okay. Then the rapture is going to take place and then it's going to get worse. It does not say that. What it says is it's getting to be a garbage pit right now. And just look. You'll be raptured out before halfway of the tribulation. I guarantee that. You will not go through the wrath of God. But he does not give you a specific time that the rapture is going to take place. Don't get things out of order. Don't say, Pastor, this stuff that you're preaching is never going to happen in my lifetime. I'm just telling you, I look back over the last 50 years, and I'm to the place now where I can look back over the last 50 years. And I'm telling you, it has gone down the tubes pretty quick. And notice what Jesus says, it increases. It's going to go faster. Don't get things out of order. Faith Community Chapel is a Bible-believing church. And I'm not claiming to be the foreseeing prophet, but I'm also not claiming to be completely stupid. You have to see, in the world that we're living in, where churches are headed. And we can't be one of them. This is what I see. In the soon coming, in regards to churches, government will be putting more pressure on the churches. And this is in the United States, by the way. In the near future, the government will be putting more pressure on us as a church. Well, what could they possibly do? Unless you haven't noticed at all, the United States is somewhere around $26 to $27 trillion in debt. But there's an avenue that the government has not tapped as far as income, and it's churches. We are tax exempt. We don't pay real estate tax, correct? Yet. We do not pay income tax on the income of your tithes and offerings. Yet. Could the government pressure us in that way? Yes. I also see the government dictating our times of worship and how many times we can worship in a week. Oh, that's way off, Pastor. You just look. By the way, did you pay attention during COVID? Do you know in New York City they shut churches down? The government will determine what goes on our website and what will not go on our website. Well, we got control over that. But no, you don't. You can see by the internet carriers and all these social media places, they can take off anything they please. But there's one thing that's more concerning to me than the government. And it's the social pressure that's coming against the church now, and it will increase. And society is going to increase pressure on Bible-believing churches. For what? To succumb to their ideals of what's right and what's wrong. You only have one place to determine what's right and what's wrong as a Christian. And it's not from society. It's from God's word. Social pressure will attempt to dictate what the church does and what we say. It will attempt to determine what we preach and how we preach it. Many of the churches in the United States are conforming churches today. They are already caving to government pressure, which is already there, and social pressure, which is increasing. It's a conforming church if it falls under some of these issues. If the church is preaching replacement theology, it is a conforming church. Well, what's theology? Theology is how I see God. It's through this. It's how we preach. It's theology. This is what I see of God, and I preach this. Now, replacement theology simply says this: that God in his infinite wisdom chose the nation of Israel to spread Jesus Christ all over the world. And he did. He loves Israel and has always watched out over Israel. Except Israel messed up real bad. And they crucified the Savior. And when they did that, God realizes that Israel is not going to fulfill the plan that He has for Israel. And what you have to really say at this point is God messed up. Okay, so first of all, if you say God ever screwed up, you're done. But replacement theology says Israel messed up, but God in His infinite wisdom and His ability to now fix things that He messed up, that's a joke. He brings in the church, the new church. The church developed at Pentecost, and now the church will carry on the plan that He had for Israel to do. Okay? First of all, if that's ever preached in this church, my best advice is shut the door. Okay? That's garbage. The nation of Israel is still God's chosen people. Okay? I'm just telling you, read the back of the book. Okay? So if a church is preaching replacement theology, get out. That's from Satan. Okay? The second one is this. If you're in a church that's preaching prosperity theology, get out. Prosperity theology, by the way, you see this a lot on television. And there's one guy that I'd just like to strangle, but it would be in a loving Christian way. Prosperity theology is, you are a child of God. You can experience all the wealth that God has in the kingdom. By the way, you may have to put a lot of money in the plate. But by the way, if you put a lot of money in the plate, you're now endorsing God's kingdom, and He's going to come back and just multiply that amount just where you can. You're going to be stupid rich. Well, by the way, unless my understanding of Scripture is wrong, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. You need to be humbled before you can be exalted. Yep. Prosperity theology, if you're in a church that's preaching that, get out. God does not preach that. It's not in Scripture. Remember, I told you, conforming church is a business. It's bringing money into the church. Pray. Because somebody said, well, He's a forgiving God. And all I can say is amen. Thank you for that. But you have to be willing to be forgiven. Have to realize repentance is required. And He's a good God. A good dad knows how to give good gifts. By the way, that's in here. That's in here. So pray. Our country we are in trouble. I'm not. You're not. Our country is. By the way, if Christ should come back before next week, then we never have to get into the conforming church. Amen? Because you won't be here. Maybe pray that way. I pray that way a lot anymore. Jesus, I'm ready. I'm ready to get out of here. I'm tired. You can revive me.